welcome to the Last Show podcast. I know I'm sounding sexy in HD, and sometimes you just be like that. My name is Corey Shane Williams. I'm the host of the Last Show podcast. I am a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. This is how I get down. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Spotify. We got Top on the phone, man. We made it. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can also go to my website, Corey Shane Williams. You can get a backlog of all the episodes. If I ever start doing stand-up again, you can see where I'm performing. Check me out there. What else? Instagram, Twitter, the whole shebang bang, at Courtney Shane. That's K-R-T-N-E-Y-S-H-A-N-E. That's where I bees at. You guys are listening to time. Thank you for tuning in for another show. You guys are coming here for the first time. Welcome. Stay a while. Take your shoes off. Don't fart on my couch. That's why I got plastic down. Also, I bet I sound sexy in HD. I finally went back to the old microphone, man. The gaming headset was not working. I mean, it just took way too much effort. And for you guys that don't know, I don't get paid to do this podcast. So the idea of putting in way too much effort is above my pay grade. So I'm back to the old Yeti Blue microphone, the old trusty. I got the Yeti Blue microphone when it wasn't even in style like that. I probably got this microphone around 2011. And I got it for free, by the way. One day it just showed up to my house. I think I got it like through Best Buy promotion. It just showed up at my house one day. And it stayed in the box for at least a year until finally I was like, oh, let me throw out that Yeti. And it has been cold-blooded ever since. So I try to use gaming headsets for a while because it makes the podcast easier for me to do. But it doesn't sound as good. And on the back end, I started doing more work. And once again, hey, I don't get paid to do the pod. Thank you for coming to the show. Hopefully you're safe, happy, you know, hopefully you're alive. A lot to talk about. This is a pop culture comedy sports podcast. Usually in that order, we going nothing but pop culture today. For all you people that are trying to escape the protests, yeah, this might not be the podcast for you. I'm sure, hey, look, it's going to be funny. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to try my best to make it funny. But if you think you're going to come here to hide, you know what I mean? It ain't the podcast for you. Hey, man, we getting people up out the paint. Hey, by the way, the Emperor is wearing no clothes. Follow me on Twitter. It's been exciting lately. Emperor is wearing no clothes. You know, people have realized Trump actually can't do anything. Like, he can just bluster and say a lot. He can take a picture in front of a church. He can tear gas people, which that is an underrated ability. Like, to be able to just tear gas some people you don't care about is underrated. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, honestly, if I had access to tear gas, my life would be a whole lot easier. You know, I jog early in the morning. You know, sometimes you kind of get nervous. If I was just walking around with tear gas, I'd just throw some down, you know, keep it moving. Like Batman, you know? But can't actually do anything. I will say, you know, I've been watching the protests. I've been watching a lot of Fox News. I watched Fox News for like a week. And I gotta say, I came to the conclusion that they are losing the country. I mean, they're right. I used to always think it was funny, and it's like, we're losing the country. And I was like, what? How are y'all losing? And I watched Fox News. I was like, yeah, y'all are definitely looking like some losers. I mean, dude, they got a show. This is off topic. They got a show on Fox News like called Top 5 or 5 Top something. It's like around the horn for racist people. The weird thing is, the only person that's racist is the host, and everybody else was just non-racist. It was weird. It was a great show. I'm not going to lie, but it's like around the horn, right? You got Woody Page with his crazy chalkboard, and then you got Bomani Jones, he had the pinky ring showing up. Then you got Jackie McMullen, who probably knows more than 90% of the people that's ever on there, but they never invite her because, you know, it's Jackie McMullen. And then you got like old Jay Mariotti. Like this is like around the horn, circa early 2000s, you know? So you got old Jay Mariotti up there that don't believe anything. It's fat meat greasy till it happened to him, man. But they're losing the country on Fox News. I digress, though. But we getting people about to paint. Trump deploring, I was watching cable news, him deploying, the military, allegedly. First of all, it's a complete waste of the military's time. I watched that protest in DC and I watched those National Guards sit there. First of all, let me make something very clear. If somebody shows up on the block wearing fatigues and a riot shield, I don't really have much to say to that guy. I'm be honest, man. Hey, man, y'all better than me. You know, I have no problem going to the protest. But you know me, you know, to quote the great Richard Pryor, you know, 11:30, you know, the guy be in the house. You know what I mean? People that nothing happened bet good after 11:30 if somebody's wearing fatigues, riot shield, okay? I got a lot to say behind this microphone, but you know who's not in this room with me? Somebody wearing fatigues and a riot shield. You understand? But I was watching CNN last night, and I see people talking trash to people with fatigues and a riot shield. The thing about it is the National Guard is sitting there like, this is a complete waste of our time. And it did have me thinking, like, that is kind of disrespectful. Like, these people actually, you know, may have been in combat. You know, if there are some actual military people, they said they took some people in from a prison. I'd be wary of those people. Now, those people, you know, the COs in prisons, the racist ones, you know, that those I catch a fade, you know, because they've lost plenty of fights, trust me. But it's a complete waste of the military's time. Like, and it is very, very insulting on top of that. The idea that you fought for people's actual freedom in this country and people are trying to exercise or exercising their free speech. And there's a minority of people that are looting, rioting, and whatnot. And that's supposedly the reason you're there. It's a complete waste of your time. Like, that's what we have the police for. That's what you do have, you know, COs for. And, you know, I mean, this is not for the military to come in, you know, with fatigues, you know, trying to keep control of a dude wearing Birkenstocks. Like, this is not what the game is for, man. It's just a minority. That's what I constantly hear. But we getting them all up out the paint. I'm sure if it's the minority, all up out the paint. By the way, I think I've said it on the podcast before. The minority is what they make the rules for. Like, all these people, like, oh, most cops are good. It's the minority. The minority is who we need to control. You understand? That's what this rule for. Most people don't kill people. But you know why there's laws against murder? The minority. Okay, most cops are good people, but you know why you need police reform? The minority. Okay, most people don't break into your house, but you know why you got a lock on your door? The minority. The minority is what causes change, period. Remember that, by the way. The minority. So for all you people that think, because you people probably ain't listening to the podcast by now, but you take it back to those people, okay? For all those people that is like, not everybody's protesting and things have changed. Look, you want to be on the right side of history or you're not, because it's about to change. This generation of people don't really care, and black people are done asking. Like, it's time to start demanding. I mean, it's all cute to quote, you know, Martin Luther King and, you know, I have a dream and we gonna and all this, you know what I mean? Not all that. All that is cool. But at some point in time, and all throughout that time, the thing people do not want to highlight about Malcolm X, he wasn't asking. He was not asking. Okay? That minority is who changes everything in this country. That's just the way it is. It's always the minority. You don't need many people to spark a change. And that's where we at with the whole game, by the way. That's that. We getting everybody up out the paint. Drew Brees had to get him up out the paint. You know? Drew, I'm going to tell you like this, man. I don't know nothing about Drew Brees. And for everybody to say, is he a racist? Look, I don't care. I don't know what's in his heart, so I'm not going to sit up here and try to get a man a heart transplant. You understand? That's not the reason I'm here for the podcast. And personally, I could kind of care less. I'm going to be honest. I'm not interested in Drew Brees exactly. I'm interested in dissecting that mentality. The mentality that could watch you and be in the NFL and be around black people. I got a lot of black friends. Look, man, no matter how much trap music you listen to, there's certain things you just can't say. Whether you believe it to be true or not. I question Drew Brees' ability to play the quarterback position. I'm be honest. Maybe he's just an athlete playing quarterback. Maybe he's not a coach's son. Maybe he's not the gym rat we thought he was, huh? You know, maybe he's not just a hard worker. Maybe he's just been getting by on his athleticism. I wonder if he can read the defense. He damn sure can't read the room. Bruh, there's certain things you don't say. What was the benefit of you saying that? You could have said next con. Anything was better than what you said. Have you watched the NFL's Twitter account? Even they trying to act like Colin Kaepernick still playing the league, man. The ship has sailed on kneeling for the national anthem. Why are you trying to die on this hill? It's over, okay? We've all seen it. We've all decided it ain't that big of a deal, dog. When I see the flag, I think of my grandparents that fought in the war. Well, I don't, okay? What's so hard about that? I do not think about your grandparents or people at war or those that fought or the military or the police. I see a flag that's supposed to represent the morals of a country that I live in, and that country is not standing up to the creed of the Constitution. Okay? That's what I see. Stop with the flag, man. It was never about disrespecting the flag. I thought we all knew that, but apparently Drew Brees didn't understand, or people that think like Drew Brees don't quite understand. Look, man, it's time to get you up out the paint, okay? I am surprised he didn't come out with a clarification statement by now. It has me thinking he actually believes that. And if he actually believes that, that's probably a more serious problem. The funny thing is, all this could have been avoided. If Colin Kaepernick had a job, you may have not even had to confront these feelings. You understand? If you just arrest the people that kill black people, you probably wouldn't have this problem. If my man that went on a jog would have had them dudes arrested, wouldn't even be in this situation. You know, if you wouldn't have voted for a president that had absolutely no leadership skills whatsoever, we might not be in this situation. And then we wouldn't have to ask Drew damn Brees, what does he think about kneeling during the national anthem? Look, it's certain things you just don't say. The ship has sailed on that. Ship has sailed, dog. It ain't about the anthem. And I tell you right now, all these people that's getting their businesses looted, stolen, robbed, people taking advantage of the protests, which always happens, by the way. People always take advantage of the system. I'm not going to sit up here and do a diatribe on looters. I'm going to address it one time and be like this. Yo, if you stealing, that's bad. That's all I got to say. People take advantage of every situation. Look, I live in Florida. You know how many people out here living off the grid? You know what I mean? If I'm sitting up here trying to catch criminals in Florida, I'll be busy all day. I don't have time to worry about people that's always going to take advantage of other people. Like, that's not what this game is about. It's an easy distraction. It's some flash paper. You know what I mean? but I'm not, you know, ready to go for that. That's not what the game is about. It's trying about getting about the paint, man. So I'm sure those people that are getting their businesses looted and rioted and robbed, I'm sure they'd rather have Colin Kaepernick kneel for the national anthem. So I'm sorry, you know, you think about your grandfather when you see the flag, but that's not what we're here for. Nobody's asking you anymore. The weird thing is, you would rather Drew Brees just don't say anything. You ain't got nothing to say. Malcolm Jenkins told the man to shut the F up. That's my quarterback. Shut the F up. That's what Malcolm Jenkins told him. And I will say, it's one of those things where it's like, if you ain't got nothing to say, don't say anything at all. But part of me is like, you saying something allows people to voice directly against that and against that idea and against that. And there's somebody out there that may think like Drew Brees think, and that person's mind could be converted. There's a stitch of people out here whose minds are never going to be changed. They are who they are. That is the way it is. Then there's a segment of people. By the way, some of y'all people might call me a friend that ain't saying a word. And you're just sitting back in the cut. And by the way, some of you, I'm happy you're not saying a word. Because I got a feeling if you said a couple words, I'd have to call you out. I will say, if I do care about you, I give you a phone call. If I don't, you know, we go in public forum on you. But some of you guys laying back in the cut, it's like, good, I'm glad they're not talking. But we need people to talk so we can shout those people down to expose what's going on. So in a weird way, I'm happy Drew Brees came out and said what he said. Thank you, Drew Brees. You're a real leader. I mean, hey, you're a gym rat, your team captain. Drew, man, salute to you. I appreciate you. It's the Last Show Podcast. Thank you for tuning into the show. It's called The Last Show. I'm sexy in HD. Because this may be it.
See what you made me do? Shout out to old Jews and old rules. New blacks with new stacks.
Thank you for tuning in, staying with the Last Show Podcast, brother. Somewhere in America, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus is still twerk. That's off the Magna Carta Holy Grail album. Woof. I was talking about this. Did I say this on the last pod? I can't remember. I was talking to brothers and sisters. Shout out to them. And so we was talking about like what happens to Jay-Z's career if he never meets Kanye West. And I came to the conclusion. By the way, that's one guy I'm glad is not talking. You know what I mean? Because I canceled Kanye and then, you know, I heard the late registration app. I was like, you know, Kanye, your ticket still works. Just on the old stuff, though. Hey, man. So, anyways, I was talking about it, and I was like, nothing changes for Kanye West. But everything changes for Jay-Z, you know. And then I was thinking about a song for the pod. What could it be? And I was like, you know, what are we doing? Protesting in these streets, you know. And by we, I mean you. I don't protest because I got asthma. So, you know what I mean? The whole tear gas thing. Look, man, I'd die right there in the middle of the street, you know. And then y'all just start running. I can't keep up. I got asthma. I definitely, by the way, Seattle, this one's for you. Man, I like y'all just stinking ass. Boy, I see y'all out there in them streets getting funky, literally. I mean, because it's raining and it seems a little muggy. You know what I mean? Y'all be rocking with that Tom's deodorant. That stuff couldn't keep a baby dry. I see y'all out there in the streets, Seattle. You're out there protesting. It's weird, man. I feel like I made an impact at the time I lived there. I feel like a proud father watching their son or daughter go off to college. You know what I mean? A little tear came to my eye. I see y'all out there chanting, getting on it. F the police, huh? I see y'all out there, man. The weird thing is even watching Seattle, I lived there for a long time, so I have a pretty good vibe of what's going on. And when I saw that, and I see around the country, look, man, you watch these pictures, man, around the world. It's not that many black people out there. I'm be honest, man. I mean, these riots look like Harlem now. Not then, now. There's not a lot of black people out there, man. And two things have occurred to me. One thing, especially watching Seattle, occurred to me is like some people out here protesting for different reasons. Some people might have legitimately came out there came out there because of police brutality and what happened. Some people came out there because society needs to change and like there's been an acknowledgement of like, yo, things are going the wrong way. Some people out there for coronavirus and the response. Some people out there because they hate Donald Trump or don't like the president, don't like the current situation. You know what I mean? Some people out there, and then I'm talking to you, Seattle, because they feel like they've lost the thing, which is the quote unquote American dream. They feel like the ticket they're holding is a fraud. I know what's going on in Seattle, man. You're coming to grips with the idea that you can't afford to live in the place that you grew up in. You've come to the realization that there's this in the society that you thought you were insulated from. Yeah, you thought you was an exception to the rule. That's the way it is, man. You've come to terms with Seattle is San Francisco. Okay? San Francisco used to be dope. It's not anymore, man. So I think those things combined with the situation with police brutality have all come together. And I think Seattle is a great representation of what's come to that region, that area. And while I haven't lived everywhere, I would assume that's the same makeup of a lot of, you know, other people. It ain't all people out here for that. It's all people out there trying to get change, trying to get justice in their environment, their society, their area. People don't want to lose those things which they believe to be pure, you know? I saw Seattle out there riding, and I was like, I can't believe you people. Do you know y'all can get beat up by the police? What's going on? And then I was talking, I think, to my mother, and I was like, yo, man, I see people burning up downtown, and, like, these people don't identify with downtown anymore, so they don't actually care. like that I was like, they actually don't care. Who cares if you lose a P.F. Chang's? You know what I mean? And no salt to P.F. Chang's. I mean, y'all have fantastic sauce. But that's not Seattle. You know? It's just not the way it is. Who cares if the Metropolitan Grill burned down the police? Like, that's not what they are. These people don't identify with the place they lived in and the place they grown up in their entire life. So they have no problem with downtown burned to the ground. Funny thing is, I was talking to my mother, too. And she was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, think about this, Mom. You used to come and visit me. How many times do we go downtown? How many times? I was like, all the places we ate at all the time. We ate out. We went around. How many times did we go downtown? How many times did you see us pay for parking? Like, we just didn't go down there like that. And I ain't even from there. Okay? Not even from there. And I didn't go down there all the time. You know what I mean? So that's the way it is. But Seattle, man, I'm proud of you. Y'all are causing a real ruckus. But let me speak to this too. Systemic racism is what this thing is all about, right? Police reform, systemic racism, and I find it funny now that a lot of people that promote and have been a part of the systemic racism now have statements like the NFL. It's like, come on. The NFL having a statement on police brutality is hilarious. It's hilarious. You know what I mean? Just hilarious, right? So I didn't know Ben and Jerry's, they go hard. I had no idea that's the way Ben and Jerry's got down. I wasn't a big fan of the ice cream, you know, but I am now. I had no clue. So Netflix having a statement, it's like, come on, man. Come on. You know what I mean? I definitely want a special. I get it. But it's like, come on, dude. Y'all are part of the systemic racism. Y'all are part of the thing. Oh, well, I'm not a racist. I'm not trying to diagnose your heart. I don't have time for that. Whether you are or not a racist, this is not a litmus test, man. That is flash paper, man. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm just seeing what you do, okay? Which brings me to this. I think I've said it on the pod before. Whenever I start a sentence with, I think I said it on the pod before, it's because I can't remember all you 10 people that have listened to every podcast. I apologize if I'm repeating myself. That's my way of saying my bad. I think if I said it on the pod before, but living in Seattle, one reason that I didn't like it. The thing I liked the most about Seattle is the comedy. It's not even close. The art scene in Seattle was dope. The first time I went to Seattle was probably 2006. 2006 or 2007. It's probably the first time I went to Seattle. I was blown away. Blown away. Completely blown away. I was an open mic comic. I might have been like featuring, you know what I mean? So I might have had, you know, I probably had 5 good minutes, maybe 3. I mean, but I was doing a half hour shows. It's one of those things. Like, the better you get, the more you realize I wasn't that good. But yeah, I went out there and it was dope. I was blown away by the comedy scene. It's one reason that, you know, I was like, if I can make some money here, this is pretty good. But when it comes to systemic racism, the Seattle falls in the category of just straight ignorance. There's just not enough black people to really understand what inequality actually is. The inequality in Seattle is seen now, especially it's economic, you know? So once Seattle notices and recognizes that inequality, they attack that inequality with the fervor unknown to mankind. You understand? Like, so when you see the inequality in the housing, in the way it works with Amazon and things like that, or you see certain buildings, like when the show box or certain, like when you see that inequality, it's identified and it's immediately exposed and extinguished. I'm a comedian, so I talk for comedy, right? So I ran a show in Seattle for years. That show was very time consuming. It was hard, especially at the beginning, to really start it out. I ran a show, I want to say at least 4 years, something like that. It doesn't really matter. I used to try to get that show listed in all the papers. I used to send it out, Seattle Times, Stranger, Seattle Weekly, never got listed. Never. Is it because the show was ran by somebody black? I don't know. A lot of shows in Seattle got promoted. A lot of shows get promoted out of time. Not one stitch of press. Not one. I'm pretty good at comedy. You know what I mean? Not to pat myself on the back, but I'm pretty good at comedy. And some people would say, hey, you need to work hard or whatever. I open up for Dave Chappelle a lot. I open up for Hannibal a lot. I sold out shows a lot. Not one stitch of press. They got morning shows in Seattle where they would have comics on all the time, man. And you know who you are. I wrote to them. Tried to get on. Wrote. Couldn't get on. But other comics got on. Is it because I was black? I think so. Yeah, let me make that clear. I think so. To have a show in the city and for that show to sell out for a year and a half straight with no help, can't get the show listed in the free paper. The free paper. Let me repeat that. The free paper. I ended up resorting to, and I'll expose it now because I don't really care. You know what I did? I printed up 1,000 flyers. This is what I used to do. The show was once a month. It was at Naked City Brewery. I printed up 1,000 flyers every single month. And what I would do is the week of the show, because the Seattle Weekly and the Stranger would not put my show in there no matter how many times I emailed and asked. You know what I would do? The week of the show, I would go around to every Stranger, Seattle Weekly, free newspaper block around the area, and I would put my flyers into the paper. Oh, that's illegal. I don't know if it is or isn't illegal. The game is to be sold, not told, but that's what I did. Because they wouldn't post my show in the paper. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get it done. And guess what? That's the way I promoted the show. That's how the show got bigger. Then once people came to the show was a dope show, and then those people came back. Thank you guys so much, by the way. But that's how I got promoted. Did that happen because I was a black comic in the city? I think so. I think diversity is a tough thing to embrace when it's something that you're never exposed to. Is that weird to say out loud? Is that why it's called diversity? I don't know. I think if there was more black comics in Seattle that were successful, especially if there were more black comics from Seattle that were successful, I think that would be different. So how does this connect to what I said in the first place? Seattle, by the way, I'm proud of you. Don't you forget it. I'm just trying to make you better, okay? This is the game. Systemic racism. That's exactly what that is. I'm not a racist. I'm not here to diagnose your heart. That's flash paper. I'm here to expose the system. This is the system. Now, comedy is what I can speak on because that's what I'm there. So just remember that. If you're a comedian or if you own, I don't know, a plumbing cup, whatever you own, look around and see how the black people are promoted. See how those black people are treated. We don't treat them bad. You know what I mean? So did some slave owners didn't treat them that bad. That's not what I'm talking about. See that? I'm a black comic in the city of Seattle. I can't get my show, sent in the free paper. The free paper. By the way, Brett Hamill was dope about putting my show in. I forgot. I literally forgot the name of the whole thing because I haven't been there that long. But Brett Hamill, he would ask me all the time. All the time. So shout out to him. Wouldn't do it. No matter how many people I open for, no matter how much money I made, no matter how much how well I did, it just didn't happen. Maybe I win the in crowd, maybe not. But this is the system. So I said that to say, so, you know, look around. See how those people are treated. See how those people are promoted. The people at your job, you know, the modicum of power you have. Think about that. Think about, you know, when you walk around, you know, the place that you live in, the place, how are the women treated there? You know what I mean? How are the minorities treated there? Think about that. How many black people do you work with? Okay. Do those people feel uncomfortable? How do you change that? If you own a comedy club, how many black people are you booking? How many females are you booking? Are they getting the same deals that everybody else is getting? Examine that. Before you go to put out your statement, you know, get all Ben and Jerry's on me, think about what you're doing in your society, okay? Are you silent, right? Are you participating in you know, inappropriate jokes? And I love a good inappropriate joke. That's the way I've got this podcast started. So I'm not here to police your vocabulary. It's not what I'm here for. But you know your friends. You know who you hang out with. What changes can I make? What can I do? You can expose that. You can address that. The minority. That's the people that need to be policed. Is everybody bad? No. But that's the point. That's the point. So I'll be back in Seattle eventually. Y'all got to get over that coronavirus first. You know what I mean? I got asthma. I can't be out there. I'm going to be out there in the middle of a protest with the coronavirus and the tear gas. Those are all bad combinations for me, man. But I'll be out there again, man. And it's good to see, man. People getting smoked out, and it's good to see. I do believe people's opinions are changing because, like I said, I think people are all out here for different reasons. So I think people are directly affected by something that they believe or they not had their future set on. But, you know, an ideal in America that ain't true. And I think that's the reason people are out there. And I think people see that. Having somebody killed on, you know, on tape is one thing, but we've seen these tapes before. This is different, though. It feels different. I hope it's different. You know, I hope these differences are addressed. Police reform. If you can't agree that there needs to be some kind of police reform, then, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it. Once again, the rules are for the minority. So before you say, oh, the police are good, they don't need reform. I'm not talking about the good police. In the good police, once there's police reform, you know what that does? That engenders more trust in those good police officers with the community, which lets those good police get even more credit. You understand? The more diverse you get, the more equality you get, the better it is for everybody. So you may think, ah, this issue doesn't affect me at all. It does affect you. Think about it. When someone is murdered, someone is killed, someone loses their life, no matter what age they are, right? There's an effect on the entire circle around them and maybe the extended circle. Think if you would have killed, you know, Martin Luther King as a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old. Malcolm X is like an innocent boy. They don't end up becoming who they become. They don't end up affecting the people they become. You may not be the change. You may be the person that influenced the person that is the change. You've nuked the future of their children, of their children's children. You've altered the family dynamics. God forbid something happens to me, but my family actually depends on me to wake up every day and make money. If something happened and I couldn't make money, that would make my entire family suffer, my child suffer, perhaps my, you know, the family connected to me suffer. You've nuked the whole operation. So there needs to be reforms in society to protect the minority. The minority is what drives this machine. You understand? Black people make stuff cool. You want to be cool? Protect these black people, man. Let's wrap up the show. But thanks Thank you, you and you, for tuning into the Last Show podcast. You know, I'm here on the new microphone, sounding sexy as hell, man. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, hit on, man. I'm going to holler at you guys next week. Take it easy. Be safe. Look, man, don't get tear gassed by these people that you know, in the National Guard and in the military, okay? If somebody is wearing a fatigue and a riot shield, you know, just go to the next person. Listen to your boy. All right, take it easy. Peace.
That's what they say. That's what they're saying. So when that's not what's happening.
How old were you when you first ate a butt?
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Toodaloo.